presentation, Srila Prabhupada's faith in the holy name, I had to just stop from time to time, and different images came up. How Prabhupada was dealing, how Prabhupada was so faithful with the chanting of the holy name. He was just so sure. I remember there was someone who considered himself an enemy in Germany, an enemy of the devotees, and he came to one of Prabhupada's public programs, and at the end he stood up and said, "This chanting which you do is just self-hypnosis." There was a bad word in those times in Germany. And Prabhupada looked at the man, and the man was trembling. He had said in the verses what a word, self-hypnosis, very bad. Prabhupada looked at him just gently, and he said, "No, it's self-purification. That the man looked at him, and because he had just so much faith and was so real, he just sat down and was silent. Tomorrow we will hear a little bit more about the role of faith in our own chanting. We will hear in the discovery lecture how we can strengthen our faith in the chanting, because once you have Shraddha, faith in the holy name, then all your problems materially and spiritually will be solved. You just don't have any, or we don't have sometimes so much faith. That is our problem. So we will do Hare Krishna. Thank you. Indian government made a stamp about Srila Prabhupada, 5 rupees only. that was a stamp with postal value. But we made another stamp. Have you seen this stamp? I have also seen this. Do you have any questions about this subject matter? Akrura Prabhu, yes, please. Let us give Akrura Prabhu the microphone. Hare Krishna.
Hare. What happened in the room? You just said that Srila Prabhupada was chanting, but what happened with you?
Well, I had gone in the middle of the room, and all the others had followed me like German soldiers, you know, in one row. And so when we looked and we saw Srila Prabhupada, and honestly, Akrura Prabhu, when Prabhupada was so absorbed, you just didn't want to disturb him. So we all tiptoed out of the room. We were just all back. Because we just didn't want to disturb him. And then we were just wanting to go down, but then Prabhupada called us, "Come." So then we all went back in the room and we said, we really don't want to disturb, but we are going back to Germany. Acha, said Prabhupada. He asked us what we would do in Germany, and we would say we will try to spread Krishna consciousness, you know. "Acha, thank you very much," he said to us. And then we said, "Prabhupada, we have a first class woolen blanket for you to keep you warm in the cold west. It is for you." And then we all gave it like little children. Prabhupada took it. He was just holding it like this to experience the blanket. You know? And then, you know, there's at least I always felt like this, you know, when you stood before Prabhupada, who was just so deep, you didn't really know what to say or do, you know. One felt so is the word impish, you know, one is a little like sheepish, you know. one waited until he said something or did something. I didn't really. So that was all of the encounter. He had acknowledged the blanket and taken the blanket, and then we quickly paid our obeisances and Jupiter went out. The way I experienced Srila Prabhupada, of course, I don't have much association. Many of my god brothers have much, much more. I always experienced him as really being. You all know that I've read a lot of mystical literature, and I do like this by my nature, this extra sensual things and so on. And I just always felt he's in a total different category than I. He's a higher being. He thinks differently. He sees everything, and you know, it is not my place to really. I should be his servant and wait what he does, and does with me or say to me and so on. I once made the mistake to challenge him. That was very much in the beginning of my Krishna conscious life, where I wanted to test him. And then he gave me one of these atom bomb answers. where afterwards I decided to become a devotee and drop everything. You know? And from that moment I know I better be careful before Srila Prabhupada. He's a different being. He's on a different level. He's a pure devotee. Yeah, nothing sensational. We just gave the blanket and he acknowledged it and put it on to experience the wool, and we quickly paid our obeisances. You know, he had just asked what we would do there in Germany, and he was satisfied. And it is still for me a miracle how Prabhupada, one person, had such a deep influence on us, which doesn't stop. We still try to serve him. We still would say, Prabhupada, I'm still trying to spread Krishna consciousness. You know, I'm still trying. You know. And his faith. Faith was just. He would always chant, actually. When I look back, when he was there, he would either lecture or chant. That is how we knew him. And he liked to see us chanting. During the last time when he came to Europe, he came to London, and he was very ill. And we felt very sad to see his illness. Then he was not lecturing long, but he was sitting there, and it was clear he had one leg already in the spiritual burden. We did kirtan, and when we did kirtan, he just motioned like this. We should dance. And we danced like anything with our youthful, robust energy. And he smiled, and he went like... Once he said, I have not come to you to convince you with many teachings. He said like this, I have not come. No, I have not come to teach you anything. He said like this. I remember the quote verbatim. All I have come is to ask you to chant Hare Krishna. Change your consciousness and go back home, back to Godhead. This is all, you know. And he once revealed to us, all the philosophy is meant that we get faith in chanting the holy name. That's why he had written his books, to give us faith in chanting. That's the simple conclusion. But it takes faith on our part to understand this. And tomorrow we will deal with this. And tomorrow we will actually also confront our own faithlessness. It's our third day where we have teachings, and we are almost over. It feels so. Then comes another day, and then comes a surprise, and then Hare Krishna. Good. Yes, Premamurti, and then I have the or Pavle. Yes, we will end with this question of Pavle. Yes, Pavle.
I will. My question is, what does give the mind the power to create the thought waves that interfere with our focus on the Mahamantra despite our will? And if there is some way that we disconnect the mind from the source?
Aha. What source empowers our mind
to create
these thoughts which distract us from the chanting?
So, our decision.
Well, that's a very intelligent question. Where does the mind get the power from? Because this is when you do warfare, you destroy the power center of a country, and then the war is won. So, because the soldiers can't fight any longer. So, where does the mind get the power from? Hare Krishna, all what comes to mind in my mind, that the mind gets the power from the ego, the false identification with the matter. You know, the ego is the connecting piece which connects the soul with matter, also with the material mind. It's like a knot in the heart which binds the soul to matter. The ego is the most subtle of, and the first material covering. And then comes the intelligence, and then the mind, and then the Panchbhutas, the five elements. So if you really want to change this, that the mind is always distracted and thinks materially, you must change your concept of identity. Can you understand this? Let us say you want to enjoy. Let us say there's one man in the room who thinks of a woman at this moment who wants to enjoy her. Example. I want to catch your attention, obviously. Should I look who that man is amongst us? Or who this woman is amongst us? Okay, everyone is listening now. I was so long in the Balkan countries, I know after some time everyone just somewhere else. If the person who wants to enjoy can really understand he's not the body, but he is an eternal soul, a part of Krishna, he's disconnected. If we could understand Indukanti, that we are eternal soul, part and parcel of Krishna, everything would change, because our sense of identity has changed. If you want to transform yourself or your life, you must start here. You are not the body. You are not your position. You are not what others think or what you think. You are an eternal soul full of bliss. At that moment, you relate differently. You transform Franz Kafka wrote a book called Metamorphosis. Who of you knows this book? You also turned the morning, all right? Yeah. There's this one clerk who goes every day to some boring job, and then one morning he wakes up and he has changed his identity. He's no longer a clerk but a monster insect, and his whole life changes afterwards. He doesn't go to office any longer. It's one of the crazy Kafka stories, you know. It's not so positive. I don't recommend it for reading. I read it before I came to Krishna consciousness. No, actually, some devotee recommended it to me, and I read it. When you change your identity, you just don't continue like this. I know once there was a devotee, he was actually a man, but he felt more like a lady. So he went for surgical operation and turned his body into a lady's body with all the distinct features of a female body. And as a result, he was no longer showering in the men's shower. You know, when you change your identity, your activity changes. This is a little maybe I shouldn't make such example, because you lose the point when you get the example. The point is, if you change your concept of identity, your whole life changes. So Pavle, the mind gets the power, because by the false ego you're convinced you are a material being, a material entity. So you must change that ego, that sense of identity, to change yourself. And that's why Srila Prabhupada always said, without understanding that you are not the body, and he said, not in a theoretical way, but in a practical way, you just can never practice Krishna consciousness. It just doesn't work. You're cheating yourself. Now don't worry, when you chant, after some time you get the feeling, there's something with the mind and the body. Did you notice when you were chanting your rounds today, how you came into a space? Like, it's just so different here. It is so very lonely here, 2,000 light years from home, you know, from the bodily identification. It happens as you chant. You detach. The sense of identity goes. The mind, then you have to see, then the mind will protest. No, that's buddhi namandi. You know. Good. We want to end this evening. How? We will show some slides of the Yamuna River, just so that we can see something, and then we will do a beautiful short kirtan together.